In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police, who investigate crime, and the Crown prosecutors, who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
Night, in a cafe called Andrew's Restaurant, the owner, Tim, drops a chip onto the counter.
One chip.
The customer, Charlie, frowns.
You're funny, mate.
You said you wanted one chip. That's one chip, right? You know what you need, son. A sense of humour transplant.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, mate.
He grabs his chips and goes to another customer, Jennifer.
Still no sign of him, love?
We've got a taxi, he's always late.
She stands up.
The bloke in his 20s turns up, shaved head, full of himself. Tell him he needs to buy another present. His name's coming off this one.
Nasty looking bird.
My fiancé likes me to keep me eyes to myself.
Well, the ring ain't on your finger, yeah. Look while you still can, eh? So what can I do for you?
No, I'm fine, thanks.
The balding, furtive-looking, middle-aged Mike hurries out the door.
Yeah, of course I tried to phone him, but there's no point in him having a phone if he never uses it, is there? Yeah, no, it's fine, I'll get a tube.
She spots something.
Oh, wait, I'll call you back. Robbie?
He's on the ground by his car.
Rob?
In an underpass, she hunkers down. Robbie's head is covered in blood.
Rob!
She makes a call on her mobile.
I need an ambulance. Here, now.
Emergency services surround the body.
Car's registered to a Robert Nichols.
Who found him, Joy?
Sister. Apparently, he's an ex-footballer. He used to be a bit of a local celeb around here.
Absolutely, yeah. I saw him play at West Ham once. He was good, that's a shame.
His watch and wallet are missing, but I know what I would have nicked. 4.2 litre V8, 414 horsepower.
You been at the unleaded again, Joy?
I like fast cars.
Still jacked up. The attacker could have been interrupted before he could nick it.
So he's killed changing his tyre?
Sometime after 9. Got his head stoved in with a wheel brace.
Any prints on it?
No, nothing but smudges. I'll send it to the lab for DNA testing. First strike broke his arm while he tried to defend himself. Second strike split his skull. He wouldn't have had time to put up a fight.
Well, not much of a fight when one of you is armed with a wheel brace.
DS Ronnie Brooks and DS Matt Devlin look down at Robbie's body. Law, over shots of the London skyline by day and by night, Bradley Walsh as DS Ronnie Brooks, a dark-haired 50-something with a level stare. Jamie Bamber as DS Matt Devlin, a handsome 30-something with neat red hair. Harriet Walter as the raven-haired DI Natalie Chandler. Order, over shots of the law courts, Ben Daniels as senior CP James Steele, Freema Aguman as junior CP Alicia Phillips, and Bill Patterson as CPS director George Castle. Law and Order UK, this episode is called Help. Jennifer is in a police interview room.
When did you last speak to your brother, Jennifer?
Earlier this evening. He was running late, so I said I'd meet him to save him coming across town.
And when you got to the car, you didn't see anybody near it?
No, I just saw the car and...
Yeah. You know, I saw Robbie play. He was good.
Yeah, he had so much going for him. And then he tore a ligament in his knee really badly. He never really recovered. His watch was worth a fortune. Wasn't that enough? Why did they have to... None of this would have happened.
Where were you supposed to meet your brother, Jennifer?
At Andrew's Restaurant.
Yeah, this bloke came in just as she was going, used a load of napkins, cleaned his hands and left.
And I suppose you've still got the napkins, have you?
Well, I emptied the bin when I got in. Bag should be still out front. Napkins will be on the top there.
Ronnie's got some chips.
You enjoying those?
Well, best breakfast I've had all day.
Huh? No, you're right.
Peel them and chop them yourself. Every day, 5 a.m, rain or shine.
You can tell they're lovely. So this bloke. Did he mention his name at all, or where he was going?
Oh, he didn't say nothing like that.
But he did say something.
I was just making conversation. Well, I made a crack about how pretty the girl was, and he started mentioning about his fiancée.
It's motor oil all over these napkins.
Can anything else you notice about this guy? The way he was dressed, or did he have anything on him at all?
He did have a carrier bag with him from a shop called Barry Flowers.
A florist.
Here you go.
Yeah, that looks like him. He was in here the other day, lunchtime, I think.
And did he mention his name at all? Mr.
Flowers. I never caught his name.
Mr. Flowers?
Yes, Barry Flowers. There's been a florist in the Flowers family for 3 generations now.
Well, did he say what he wanted, Mr. Flowers?
He was looking for a bridal display for Saturday.
Saturday? For a wedding? Isn't that a bit late to be ordering wedding flowers?
That's what I thought. His supplier's just gone bust. He was looking for a last-minute replacement. He took a couple of display brochures for his fiancée.
There's no camera footage of the street where Robbie Nichols was killed.
What about forensics?
Well, they say they can possibly match DNA from the murder weapon to the napkin, so all we've got to do now is find our mystery man.
See our victim made the press?
Only centre pages of the Matter, though, Gov. Lad could have played for England. He's off the back pages for good now.
The florist we spoke to said our suspect was getting married on Saturday.
So we've checked all the churches, Protestant, Catholic, Greek Orthodox.
Not to mention the civil halls and the hotels. This Saturday, there are scheduled to be 54 weddings.
And now a funeral. Dust off your mourning suit, Ronnie.
Not likely. Last wife cut the arms off it.
At St. Mark's Church in Dalston, Father Young recognises the sketch.
Oh, that's Mike Jones. He's not in trouble, is he?
Is he one of your parishioners, Father?
I hope so. He's getting married here tomorrow.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, we were all really chuffed when he and Fiona got together. Mike's had a rough couple of years. Define rough. Well, his divorce, Mary taking the kids up north. Mike's a really good guy, but he's taken a few knocks. He doesn't give up, though.
Do you know where we can find him?
He said he was just going for a meal with family.
Right.
Ronnie and Matt arrive in a posh restaurant at lunchtime.
Mike Jones. DS Matt Devlin, DS Ronnie Brooks. Could we have a word, please?
I know the rights are over the top, Jim, but call on the cops.
Mike, what's going on?
Nothing to worry about. Right?
Well, we'd like to ask Mr. Jones a few questions regarding an incident the other evening.
Now?
It's okay, Fiona. I won't be long. I'll see you back at the flat. Look after
it. At MIUHQ in Bow Street, Natalie watches Mike on a monitor.
Seems our Mr. Jones has previous. Used to own a black cab, lost his licence for 3 years, drunk driving. And when he was 17, he was done for assault.
And what about history of violence since then, eh?
Nothing he's been done for.
Well, if he hasn't done anything, why is he wearing a hole in the carpet?
He paces the interview room. In the interview...
Fiona and I were out with friends that night. We got back home about 1 a.m.
And what about before that?
Look, you do know I'm getting married tomorrow afternoon.
Well, the sooner we can get this cleared up, Mike, the sooner you can be out of here.
I'm a kitchen porter at the Warren Hotel. I started at 6 a.m, did a double shift, and finished at 9 in the evening.
You sure about that?
Yeah. 9 in the evening. On the button.
Okay, so you left work at 9, then what happened?
I was on my way home, and there was this lad, flash car, flash suit.
You mean Robbie Nichols?
Well, if you say so. And he had a flat tire, and he looked as if he didn't know one end of a spanner from the other, so I offered to help.
But you didn't think to let the police know that you was with Robbie Nichols just before he was killed?
I didn't see anything. Besides, I'm working all the hours I can. Weddings don't pay for themselves.
You know that Robbie Nichols' watch and wallet went missing when he was killed?
You think I killed someone? For their watch?
The watch was worth 30 grand. Buys a lot of wedding cake.
I stopped to help change a wheel. Did you ever hear of the Good Samaritan?
Yeah, but the Good Samaritan was never done for assault, though, was he?
Oh, no, 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 no. Look, that was 30 years ago. That blow came at me. It was self-defense. Oh, I did not kill Robbie Nichols.
At the Warren Hotel.
We went through a dozen kitchen porters before Mike started. Our chef's a real pain. Best cook in London. It's not even the best cook in the kitchen.
Mike said he was working here till 9, is that right?
He would have worked the graveyard shift if I'd have let him. He left at 9.
You sure about that?
Yeah, you can check his time card. All staff have to clock in and out. Clean, huh?
And those records are never tampered with?
No, they're all digital. Mike left at 9. On the button.
On the button?
The exact phrase that Mike used.
You see, Mr. Paxman, we hear a lot of things in this job, and rehearsed alibis is one of them.
This is a murder investigation. Giving a false alibi is a serious offence.
Murder? No. No way. This is Mike we're talking about. He's not capable of that.
This is Mike we're talking about. He had a criminal record, didn't he?
Yeah, for drink driving.
So you won't mind if we have a look at your security DVDs? I mean, if you're telling the truth, you've got nothing to worry about, have you, sir?
Mike left at 6. Asked me to swipe his card out at 9.
You don't just lose 3 hours down the back of a sofa room. This bloke is desperate. He's working every hour that God gave. So he goes out, he looks for someone to rob.
Well, I agree. There is reasons to rob someone, but not batter him to death, Matt.
Thank you. He did. All right, thank you. That was the caterer for Mike's wedding. 6 months ago, he couldn't pay the deposit. Yesterday, he settles the full amount, $5,500. Cash.
Ronnie frowns. Ronnie and Matt arrive on the walkway outside Mike Jones's flat in a tower block in Hackney. It's number 51. Ronnie flips the knocker.
This is Jim, I hope he's got the ring.
Michael Jones, I'm arresting you on suspicion of the murder of Robert Nichols. You do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence if you do not mention when questioned something which you later rely on in court.
I just stopped to help someone who was in trouble.
Yeah, you stopped and helped yourself to Robert Nichols' watch.
What did you do with it? Did you sell it to a specialised trader? Did you flog it to a mate?
6 months ago, I took a second job. I was a controller in a taxi firm. I wasn't cabbing. I'm trying to get my driving licence back. That's where I got the cash.
So why did you feel the need to lie to us about where you were between 6 and 9pm?
Because the owner of the cab company, he's a mate and doesn't always hire drivers who are kosher.
In his light grey wedding suit, Mike laughs, incredulous.
I'm sorry, do you find this funny?
Well, look at me. Top hat, tails. I'm in a police station on my wedding day.
You either laugh or cry.
The DNA, Mike, on the murder weapon and on the napkins is a match, and it's yours.
Well, of course it is. I helped change a wheel.
Yeah, or beat him to death.
Oh, this isn't right.
Sit down, please, Mike.
But I'm supposed to be getting married in half an hour.
Sit down, Mike.
He sits down by his lawyer.
The only DNA on the murder weapon is Robbie Nichols and yours. So, Mr. Jones.
There was another bloke there.
Mike looks grim-faced.
He turned up as I was taking the spare wheel out of the car. He seemed to know Robbie Nichols. Maybe he was wearing gloves.
So this other bloke who happened to know Robbie Nichols and happened to be wearing gloves, what did he look like?
I don't remember.
Right, then I'll put a description out for Mr. Invisible then, shall I?
Look, it's the truth. He was there. He took over from me. They were changing the wheel when I left.
Fiona's family have flown in from Spain and our mate, he's
paid for the hotel rooms.
This wasn't supposed to happen.
You know what, Mike? I believe you. I really do. That it wasn't supposed to happen. That it wasn't planned.
Maybe you just stumbled across Robbie Nichols. Maybe you saw his watch.
No, don't. You don't understand.
You know what? Cut the crap, Mike, and tell us the truth.
Maybe I should have kept going. Maybe I shouldn't have stopped to help. This bloke, I know what he's capable of. If he comes after me or Fiona...
Seth, there is no other bloke, is there, Mike? There's only you.
Sitting opposite Mike, Matt and Ronnie look shocked. Mike looks up, scared.
That's why I never came forward. Don Marsh, he was there.
In Natalie's office.
How does Mike know Don Marsh?
Well, he's lived in the East End most of his life, and everyone there must know Marsh's reputation, surely.
Gov, Mike's DNA is all over the murder weapon, and Mike was in the right place at the right time.
Well, he could have been in the wrong place at the wrong time. Not many criminals we do know that keep down two jobs, and if Marsh was there...
But explain why Mike didn't come forward.
Yeah.
The last two blokes who grassed on Marsh were shot in the back of the head and dumped somewhere near the M11. Why would Marsh murder Robbie Nichols?
Well, if Nichols was into Marsh for any of Marsh's activities, like loan sharking, drugs, Tom's, blackmail, then it's take your pick time if Mike's story's true, isn't it?
Start making inquiries to find out if there's a connection between Marsh and Robbie Nichols.
Right, I'll get the FIU to send over Marsh and Nichols' files.
God, what do we do about Mike Jones?
Well, he's lied before, he might still be lying. No, he stays in the system.
Right.
Listen, boys, let's not take any risks if we are dealing with the Marsh brothers. We know they've paid off some coppers before now, and they boast they've got a judge on their books. I think you two should work in a secure office upstairs, just for the time being.
She hands Ronnie a set of keys.
And watch your bags.
According to his bank statements, right, Robbie Nichols' largest cash withdrawal stopped around about a year ago. And they're all from 76 Low Street. Dino's Pie and Mash is on Low Street.
There's a casino on Low Street.
The Palms.
And footballers love casinos. Yeah,
76.
76 Low Street, Bingo. Queensfiddly Holdings. And guess who the major shareholder in Queensfiddly Holdings is?
He shows Ronnie a mugshot.
Mr. Donald Marsh.
Outside the Palms Casino with croupier Debbie.
Robbie's a good tipper, no matter how big he loses.
And he loses a lot?
Yeah, he's on the losing streak at the moment.
Well, it's just ended. Robbie was murdered last week.
God, that's terrible.
Yeah. Was Robbie a regular?
Yeah, he's a regular at my table. 5-6 nights a week.
So did he ever have any money troubles when he was in here?
No, Mr. Marsh always looked after him.
In Natalie's office.
Robert Nichols was absolutely skint. He may not be a Premier League player anymore, but he's certainly spending like one. Credit cards are maxed out and he's well beyond on his mortgage.
He's a proper gambler. Big old line of credit.
So Nichols owes cash to Marsh's casinos. Marsh is the last one to see him alive.
She stands up.
You search Marsh's office. There's a JP downstairs. I'll get her to sign the warrant. No briefings, no mobiles. Just load any uniform you trust onto a carrier. I don't want Marsh getting any heads up.
They arrive at a boxing gym with a uniform squad.
Spent my early teens in that ring.
Don't tell me they had pie-eating contests at the weekend.
Junior featherweight champion, 4 years on the bounce.
You were a featherweight?
Still am a featherweight, just that my clothes got small.
Shaven-headed Don Marsh spots them.
What is this? Slow day at the station, Ron?
Get everyone out, lads, eh?
You need a warrant to search here.
What, you mean like this? Looks like your contacts aren't as good as you thought.
Don gets out his phone.
I'm calling my brief.
Don steps past with a sneer. Matt pockets the warrant. The uniforms clear the gym. Ronnie finds a young lad loitering by an open locker in the locker room. It's Charlie.
Everything all right, son? I said everything all right?
Yeah, Papa?
He's got a gun.
Yeah?
Take it easy. Ronnie, just one sec, Matt. Stay where you are, Matt.
Who's that?
Don't look at him, son. Look at me.
Huh?
Don't look at him. Just look at me. Keep your eyes on me. Matt. Give us a second.
Wait.
Keep looking at me.
Matt, get everyone out.
Go on.
Matt leaves the room.
Get everyone out of here.
It's just us two now. What's your name?
In the area, now.
What's your name, son?
Charlie.
My name's Ronnie. You don't want to do this, Charlie, do you? Really? And I certainly don't want to be here. So why don't we take it easy, eh? Why don't you put the gun down?
Clear the area, now.
Right. Take Mr. Marsh down the station.
You've got to be joking. CO19.
What's this for, then?
We've got a firearm on the premises.
Not
suspect
my gun.
Has a hostage. It was on your premises.
In the locker room.
That's it.
Charlie strengthens his aim.
Doesn't have to be like this, Charlie, does it?
Charlie lowers his gun arm.
Come on.
Ronnie reaches for the gun as Charlie dips the barrel.
That's it.
Oi, Harry, call up Bridge. Tell him where I am.
Come on. Call off the cavalry, Matt. You'll be okay.
Charlie's led away.
CO19, scratch that last.
Natalie brings Ronnie a mug at the station.
Tea, 4 sugars.
Matt takes it.
Don't look so worried. Get that down, yeah.
Uniform found this in Charlie's bag. It's Robbie Nichols' watch.
Right.
Ronnie takes the watch and case file. He smiles at Matt.
You don't get rid of me that easy, sunshine.
He shows Charlie the watch in the interview room.
We recovered 3 sets of prints from Nichols' watch. His own, yours, and your boss's. So where did you get the watch, Charlie?
I don't remember.
Oh, a 30-gram watch and you can't remember where you got it?
The best thing to do, son, is just tell us the truth.
Don't know what Mr. Marsh is like. If I talk...
I tell you, it's not him you've got to worry about. It's me. You knew that watch was in your bag. You knew what would happen when we found it. You pulled a gun on a police officer. You threatened his life because of that.
No, the gun's not mine. I was looking after
Possession of a firearm with intent to cause fear of violence is 5 years minimum. Minimum, Charlie.
I wouldn't have pulled the trigger.
Oh, you think he knew that? You? If you were my boy, I'd tell you. What you did today was stupid. Getting yourself involved with Marsh was stupid. But I'll tell you something about mistakes. You don't have to keep making them. You can tell us where you got Nichols's watch. How did you get it? I'm asking you, Charlie, how did you get Nichols's watch? Where did you get Nichols's watch?
Mr. Marsh gave it to me. It was a finder's fee.
For what?
I knew he was looking for Nichols. Nichols owed him money. I passed his car on the street. I phoned Mr. Marsh.
So, you told Marsh how to find Nichols?
This bloke at the gym said Nichols was into Marsh for something like £250,000.
Matt's with Don.
No comment.
Charlie Blake spotted Nichols and called you on his mobile. Is that when you went down and beat Robert Nichols to death?
No comment.
For the tape, DS Brooks has just entered the room. Must have made you feel young again, like old times. Getting your hands dirty. Grab that iron bar and beat a defenseless bloke to death.
No comment.
Is there an echo in it?
I used to box in that gym as a nepper. I used to really enjoy it. Family-run place, it was nice. Well, it was, of course, until you lot moved in.
When are you going to give up, Ron?
Well, that's never going to happen.
You put the booze before your daughters, and you put the job before them. Isn't it time you started thinking about your girls, Ron?
Ronnie sits down with a frown.
That's Detective Sergeant Brooks to you.
Police station.
See, Don Marsh was his usual talkative self.
According to Charlie Blake, Marsh killed Robbie Nichols.
Yeah, didn't you say that about Mike Jones?
But all the forensics did point...
Matt, he's winding you up. It's so easy.
Anyway, the CCTV has Marsh hurrying away from the gym a few minutes after taking the call from Charlie. Apparently, Marsh wanted to do Nichols personally.
How much does he owe Marsh?
Well, Charlie Blake reckons it's about £250,000.
God, no wonder Marsh took it personally. Look, charge Marsh with murder, we'll start prepping the case. Don Marsh, good work.
Thank you. But what about Mike Jones? He's still being detained at Her Majesty's pleasure.
Yeah, I'll issue a notice of discontinuance. Let's get him released and back into the loving arms of his fiancée.
If she'll still have him.
In Holborn.
We expedited your release 3 hours after Charlie...
I spent 4 days in prison. I missed my wedding. I was forgotten about. I was in a cell with a junkie.
Just leave me alone.
You screwed up, Alicia.
Carl.
You owe Mike Jones a lot more than an apology. He was humiliated in front of his in-laws, his future wife. They spent 2 years scrimping and saving, and in one afternoon, your lot flushed £8,000 down the bog. Rest assured, we'll be seeking financial compensation. James.
Alicia frowns.
I don't know. I'll give you one simple job. Mike's just angry. He'll get over it.
With good cause. Wrongly arrested, wrongly accused.
Then you shouldn't have lied to the police when they interviewed him. He's free now, the system worked. Besides, we've got more pressing worries.
At the court.
For the Crown to lose one piece of evidence is a misfortune. To lose two sounds like carelessness.
I think we'd all like to know how vital evidence disappeared from the secure police property store.
The IPCC have suspended a uniformed officer. She removed the watch and the fingerprint evidence on Marsh's behalf.
Ridiculous and verging on libelous. My client's in custody. He has had no contact with friends or family since his incarceration.
Except through his brief. Never saw you as Marsh's messenger boy, Jason. I thought you were better than that.
You're trying to rile me, James. Clever. Ignoring it. My client should not be punished for the police and CPS incompetencies. The Crown's case is built around a stolen watch and the prints on it. And I'm not a messenger boy, James. That's insulting of you.
It's nothing. You should hear what I think about your client.
My client's been denied bail based on this evidence. As there's no evidence, my skeleton for the dismissal.
We're developing other evidence. I intend to put Marsh away for as long as possible.
Speak to the list office. Get the application listed and I'll rule on it.
Marvellous.
With all due respect, isn't it a bit early to start hearing applications for dismissal?
Is your client applying for bail?
Don Marsh has killed five people that we know of.
None of which has ever been proven in court, has it, Mr. Steele? I'll hear bail application if your notice is served on time. I have another trial in 10 minutes, gentlemen.
Outside.
Marsh is pissing all over the legal system, Jason.
Speculation.
Best left to the tabloids, yes?
You know he's behind the missing evidence. How can you defend him? You tried to put him away when you were in my position.
You're the only person that's ever beaten me, James. Can't let that stand. Reputation, foundation of civilization.
It's not a competition, Jason.
Look at me. What I am. And what I'm not. Everything's a competition. How do you think I got here?
He looks levelly at James.
This will end badly for you.
Stocky bearded Jason rubs some antiseptic hand gel between his palms.
Good luck representing Marsh. It's going to take more than hand gel to wash his dirt away.
Jason gets up and walks away. Crown v. Marsh, trial day 2, Tuesday, 15th of March. A nervous-looking Charlie heads into the witness box, watched by Don, who's in the dock. Don wears a smile on his pockmarked face.
Raise your hand on the Bible and read aloud from the card.
I swear by Almighty God that the evidence I shall give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Marsh has got to Charlie.
Charlie Blake's in witness protection. There's no way Marsh has got to him.
He got to the evidence and unlocked police store, didn't he?
Charlie Blake has just said that his original police statement was a lie, and that is a disaster.
That's what I like about you, George, your optimism.
Does this look like the face of an optimist? What national football team do I support?
Point taken. What do you know about the judge?
Butchville? Not much. Just called to the bench last year. This is his highest profile case to date. Why?
Charlie said that he was calling Marsh to ask for an extra shift at the gym, and Judge Birchville seemed, I don't know, he just seemed a bit quick to accept his change of story.
What did you expect him to do?
His job. If he threatened Charlie with perverting the course of justice, we could have got him to tell the truth.
Charlie changed his story because prison doesn't worry him. Being found in the M11 with a bullet in the back of the skull does, which coincidentally is what I suspect the DPP has in mind for us if Marsh walks free again.
Good afternoon, Carla.
Trial day 3.
The jury has a right to know about Mr. Marsh's previous conviction.
I have already ruled. His convictions are not to be adduced, Mr. Steele.
The defendant was convicted of grievous bodily harm. He hospitalized a member of his gang. Robbie Nichols was beaten to death. How is his propensity for violence in one case not relevant to another?
I have made my decision. Your application is refused. Now move on, Mr. Steele, or you'll be held in contempt.
You'll hold me in contempt.
Mr. Steele, I am this close to losing my patience with you.
Birchville holds his fingers close together. James sits down.
If I strangled him, I could be out in what, 10 years?
This is our one and only chance to put Marsh away, James. If anyone can do it, it's you.
Ow. I feel like I'm fighting Marsh with both hands tied behind my back. What do you suggest? Glasgow kiss?
Only as a last resort.
I've done some digging on Birchville. He asked to be assigned to this trial, George.
That doesn't mean that he's in Marsh's pocket. For all we know, his in-laws are staying. He just wants to get out of the house.
He's blocking me every chance he gets. I haven't managed to get a single application past him. Yeah, I know. But it doesn't mean he's bent.
So what now?
There was another witness. Mike Jones. He saw Marsh with Nichols minutes before the murder. The problem is, he's not answering our calls.
Odd that, given the whole unlawful detention thing. Please tell me you had him ID Marsh before he was released from prison.
We had incriminating physical evidence and Charlie's confession at that stage.
So that's a no, then.
Mike had been held for 4 days and 3 nights. He'd missed his wedding. I wanted to get him home as quickly as possible.
You should have been thinking about getting the case home.
Excuse me for thinking about his feelings. I'll make sure it never happens again.
I'll track Mike down and do some groveling.
Mike is at work in the kitchen at the Warren Hotel.
You are joking.
If you formally identify the man you saw that night, we can proceed with the trials for the murder of Robbie Nichols.
You locked me up for being in the wrong place at the wrong time. For doing a good deed. For telling you to kill the lad. And now you want me to stop your case falling apart.
I know. I'm sorry about what happened, Mike.
I have a pocket full of sorries, Miss Phillips. You tell them who you work for. Hell'll freeze over before I do anything to help.
You're all right. You don't have to do anything to help us. You didn't have to do anything to help Robbie Nichols that night. He had a flat tire, but you did.
And who helps me? Who helps me tell Fiona that her family were wrong about me? You act as if none of that other stuff ever happened.
You lied to the police.
I know what Marsh is capable of.
With a tea towel over his shoulder, Mike leans on a work surface and frowns.
I should be on honeymoon. In Portugal.
You're a good man, Mike. Who did the right thing and got screwed for it.
Mike goes back to the washing up.
Most people would have walked past Robbie Nichols that night. But you didn't. I'm appealing to that decent person who did the right thing and stopped to help a stranger. You have an opportunity to help Robbie Nichols again. Only this time doing the right thing puts his killer behind bars.
Mike looks round, grim-faced. He follows Alicia into the police station.
Max.
Natalie comes in. Ronnie offers Mike his hand.
There's no need for introductions, right?
Hiya, Mike. Sorry about, well, we were just doing our job.
Can I get you a cup of tea? You've done enough, mate.
We do appreciate you doing this, Mr. Jones. They're ready for you now to do a formal ID.
Let's get this over with.
By a screen.
Okay, John, thank you very much. Mike, I'm going to run this through twice for you. If you see the person you think you saw on the night of Robbie Nichols' murder, just let us know.
That's him.
You're certain that's the man you saw?
Yeah, I'm certain. I've got to take this. Fiona? What? Stay calm. I'm on my way.
Mike, what's up?
Fiona's been attacked.
I was just walking down the street. There was this man. He said you'd had an accident and they'd take me to see you.
Would you recognise him if you saw him again?
It was all so fast. I was worried about Mike. And there was another man in the back seat of the car. I started screaming. He slapped me. He said if you talked at the trial, he said he'd kill you.
To James.
I think you should go now.
You need to talk to the police, Fiona.
I don't even want to talk to you.
You have to give them a full description so they can deal with this.
Please.
They knew I was at the police station. They knew she was alone.
We can help you.
You could start by leaving.
Now, hiding in your flat isn't the answer.
You heard what happened in broad daylight. Anything could have happened in the back of the car.
The only way to end this is to face Marsh down.
The only way to end this is for me to keep my mouth shut. I've told the police that, and now I'm telling you. That's what Marsh wants, and that's what he's gonna get.
Mike stands up and holds the front door open.
Please.
Fiona, please think about it.
You're a material witness. That means I can get a witness summons. If you don't attend court and give your evidence, I'll make an application. I'll have you rearrested, and I'll force you into the box.
You do that.
In George's office.
So Jones gives a statement saying he's in fear of his life. We make a hearsay application. We have his statement read out in court. It happens all the time.
If we had any other judge, that might work. We've got to force him to give evidence against Marsh.
Well, so Marsh intimidates him out of the box. We intimidate him in. We're supposed to be the good guys.
Yeah, but the bad guys don't play by the rules.
Do we have any idea who it is that is intimidating our only witness?
It's not Don Marsh. He's still on remand and calls from the prison are monitored.
What about his brother? They run the business together, don't they?
The police have just started watching him. So far, he hasn't made an attempt to contact Mike.
You won't have to contact him again. He's succeeded. Unless you have a plan to flush out who's leaning on Mike, then we don't have a case.
I can't believe we're going to have to let Marsh walk on this.
Set up a meeting with Jason and Don Marsh.
In Ashbridge Prison.
Manslaughter. That's your offer.
Nah, no way.
We're prepared to accept your client only intended to rob and that he didn't have the intention to kill.
You don't have anything on me. You wouldn't be here if you did.
Now, I know, you know, I know you don't have anything. So what are you up to, James? What are we doing here?
We got a witness who puts your client on the street at the time of Robbie Nichols' death.
A witness who remembers a fact after his, what, sixth, seventh hour in custody?
A witness who can't wait to give evidence. He wants to stand up in court and tell his story, no matter what anyone says to him or his fiancée.
I'm prepared to take my chances in court. He's your witness.
When you come to your senses, James, give me a shot.
Think about what I said.
He
You should have told me what you were doing.
Yeah, but you would have only tried to talk me out of it.
You told him Mike's still prepared to give evidence.
We need to find out who's intimidating Mike. If that means I have to poke a rattlesnake to get a reaction, then that's what I have to do.
James, you are playing Russian roulette with his life.
I know, but I don't have any other choice.
Trev, is Harry Marsh showing any sign of life in there?
Negative. He's still in his office.
About to go and call Ron.
Well, that.
They're on a stakeout.
He's ordering Chinese.
Well, he's a lucky one. I wish I had a Chinese. That is horrible.
Ronnie dumps his burger and chips. Matt slides it into a bag.
You know what the fuck? What are you doing? That's my dinner.
Enough is enough.
What do you mean, enough is enough? This could be said, it's my dinner. Have you nicked them crime scene bags from work?
These bags are the only thing strong enough to deal with what you eat.
Matty, you are unbelievable, son.
Target's on the move, Control. Target's on the move.
Righto, Trev, thank you. Target sighted. Hang on, everyone.
What's going on?
He's on his mobile phone now, hang on. What's he doing with that?
What?
He's taking his mobile phone to bits.
Eh?
Yeah. He's thrown something down the drain. OK, can you pick him up, please?
At the CPS.
10:54 p.m. last night, Mike received a phone call where he was threatened. I'm quoting, "I guess you didn't take me seriously before. If you go to court, you and your girlfriend are dead."
And you were watching Marsh's brother at this time?
Yeah, he dumped a SIM card down the drain and then threw a mobile in the bin.
Yeah, we contacted the phone company. They confirmed. I mean, Mike's house was definitely called from that card and phone.
Where's Harry Marsh now?
In a cell at Bow Street.
Charge him with intimidation of murder and let's set up a meeting with Mike.
Thank God. But on a stone just watching Ronnie eat.
Three nights, I was beginning to think Harry wasn't our man.
He just needed a bit of motivation.
Ronnie and Matt leave the office. James and Alicia are at Mike and Fiona's flat.
One of his brother gets out.
Harry Marsh isn't going anywhere. He's been charged with witness intimidation. We're pushing for the maximum, 5 years.
My concern is Don Marsh. We're not going to get a conviction unless you give evidence against him.
No, it's too dangerous.
We arrested the person threatening you, Fiona.
They threatened to kill me and Mike.
The Marsh brothers are behind bars. We'll provide you with close protection.
It's easy for you to say, but what about after the trial? What about Marsh's other friends? You going to watch them all?
I know it's risky, but Marsh will always be a threat until you stand up to him.
You can't protect us. Please, just leave us alone. Let us get on with our lives. It's not our problem.
Can we count on you, Mike?
Don't do this.
Fiona, he threatened you.
Mike, don't. If you do this...
I saw him. He killed that lad.
If that's your choice.
Fiona!
Mike leans by a broken window and frowns. Jennifer is in the witness box.
Rob was lying beside the car. I thought he'd collapsed, and then I saw the blood on his face.
Thank you.
Jason rubs gel into his hands.
Miss Nichols, you gave evidence that a man, Mike Jones, entered the restaurant just before you left. Is that correct?
Yes.
What was on his hands?
I think it was grease.
Grease from your brother's car?
My lord, how exactly is the witness qualified to answer that question?
Mr. Peters, move on.
Miss Nichols, did Mr. Jones seem anxious?
He looked like he was in a hurry.
Like he was fleeing from a crime scene. Withdrawn. No further questions.
You may step down, Miss Nichols.
To Alicia.
Is he here?
There's no sign of him.
I thought he had close protection. What happened?
Mr. Steele, is there something you would care to share with the court? Call your next witness, please.
My lord, the Crown's witness has been temporarily delayed. Could I ask for an hour's adjournment?
Very well, it's near 12 o'clock. We'll adjourn till after lunch. And Mr. Steele, 2 p.m. prompt.
Should you be talking to me without my brief?
Where's Mike Jones?
Mike Jones. Oh, that Mike Jones. Well, contrary to what you might have heard, I can't walk through walls.
I'd get used to that. Where is he?
I have no idea where your witness is. But thanks for dropping by. You've made my day. That we deserve.
Walking through chambers.
He's been arrested.
He's been held in custody in Camden. Apparently he managed to give his bodyguards the slip.
What part of close protection don't they understand?
He was pulled over for driving with a faulty brake light.
He's been driving. He hasn't got a license or insurance.
He wasn't just driving illegally when he was arrested. He was working as a cabbie.
Like Mike.
Camden Police Station.
I'm sorry, Mr. Steele.
You don't have to explain yourself to him. You promised to give evidence.
Fiona's left me. I thought she'd come round, but she said if I gave evidence, she'd leave me forever.
She's just scared. It's understandable.
I love her.
We're done talking, James. You promised, Mike.
I know. But what am I supposed to do? What am I doing here? They want me to give evidence against the owner of the cab company. You want me in the box against Marsh. I'm being torn apart here.
Look,
all I tried to do was help change a wheel. I don't understand how all this happened. I've lost my job at the hotel. I've lost Fiona. I have nothing left to give, Mr. Steele.
I promise to help you. Will you help me?
I don't think you can take much more of your help.
The law works because of people like you, Mike. People who put themselves in the line of fire because it's the right thing to do. You're a good man.
Your defense will tear apart. You'll lose any chance of getting a license.
I need you
being
in the box.
Cabbie again.
Robbie, think of your family. Need you in the box. Help me, please.
Jason questions Mike in the courtroom.
Mr. Jones, did you see my client attack Mr. Nichols?
No, I left.
Did you see my client with a wheel brace in his hands?
No, but I
when
heard
you were
them...
being the Good Samaritan and helping Mr. Nichols change his tire, where were you coming from?
From work.
By work, you mean the hotel? Mr. Jones? You were answering phones for a cab company that employs illegal drivers, weren't you?
My lord, I fail to see the relevance of Mr. Jones' occupation. He's a witness. Not on trial.
Exactly, Mr. Steele. The definition of which requires him to give witness. Answer the question, Mr. Jones.
I don't see what that's got to do with what I saw.
This very morning, you were arrested for driving without insurance, without a license.
Yes, I was.
Your word as a witness is as valid as your driving license, Mr. Jones. You don't know the meaning of the word truth.
I know what I saw.
Really? In your first police interview, you said you didn't see anything.
I explained why. I was...
You were lying then. But you're not lying now. Of course not. No further questions.
Rebuttal, my lord.
James stands and looks levelly at Mike.
Why did you lie to the police, Mike?
As a cabbie, you're allowed to spot trouble, and this was one of those times.
You were scared?
Well, they were arguing when I left, and I just wanted to get away, get home. I didn't think.
Mike spots Fiona entering the courtroom.
Look, I know I've made mistakes. I've let people down. My kids, my divorce. And God knows I haven't always done the right thing. Whatever you think of me, well, I can live with that. I can live with that because the right thing now is to tell you what I saw. And I saw Marsh with Robbie Nichols just before he was murdered. I just wish...
Go on, Mike.
Every day I think, if I'd stayed, if I hadn't been scared, none of this would have happened.
Outside with Jason.
So what do you think? Could go either way.
Juries. Understand, James. Win, lose, I don't need your pity.
Pity? That's being genuine, Jason.
That's your problem, James. You care.
Since when was caring a dirty word?
It'll be your downfall one day.
Yeah, you might be right. But you know what? I can't think of a better way to go.
In relation to count one, on the indictment alleging murder, do you find the defendant, Donald Marsh, guilty or not guilty?
Guilty.
In the dock, Don glowers and buffets the bailiff. Get off me. In the gallery, Fiona kisses Mike on the cheek. James looks round as the couple leave the court quietly. He catches Mike's eye and nods sincerely.
Yeah, great. No problem. Take care. Mike's given his word that he'll stick to being a kitchen porter for the time being, and I've given my word that I'll speak to his defense. He'll get a community order. Oh, how lucky were we to have him as a witness.
How did you convince Fiona to come to court?
I thought you did that.
She shakes her head.
It's frightening, isn't it? The entire British justice system depends on the decency of a Mike Jones.
And reassuring.
The characters and events in this film are fictitious. Any similarity between them and actual characters or events is coincidental. ITFC, audio description.